He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
If you are hoping to live a very long life, apparently there's a new blood test that could indicate whether you've got a high chance of living longer. Dr. Brown, welcome back. Did you hear about this? Researchers at Duke University publishing findings in aging cell that show certain small RNA molecules in the bloodstream that can actually predict whether older adults are likely to survive at least two more years. Did you see this?
I did. Cursory, I would have to say. But I'm not surprised. It's definitely a area that there's a lot of research that's going on right now to see sort of, okay, what is the actual longevity? And it goes down to the really neat aspects of what we can do within the genome and how we can get in and look at it. It's really neat. So in particular, the cells, you know, the genetic cells in a organelle of our cells called the mitochondria. You probably remember that from science class.
Absolutely, I do. You're taking me back. Yes.
The mitochondria, also known as the powerhouse of the cell, you know,
yes.
It's a cool name, actually has consistent genetic code throughout one's life. It continues to be carried on. It's actually carried by the mother, and it doesn't really change. So it's actually a linear aspect of our genetic code. So we can go back and look at it and analyze it. So to come back and say that, yes, there's going to be some data that can help determine longevity, well, we do have the area of the cell that can be looked at and determine, is there going to be, you know, is there a longevity associated with it?
So I just found it really fascinating because, yes, as you can imagine, I went right back to middle school science class with the nucleus and every, you know, I'm thinking of all of that. And in RNA versus DNA, like I was really going back in time a little bit. But I was sort of fascinated by this because, again, for people who don't, you know, remember or know, RNA functions kind of they're kind of translating, if you will, the DNA's blueprints, essentially, right? Like, aren't they kind of really critical, I guess, in, I don't know, like you just said, in our genes, our genetics, like what that's going to mean for us. So my first.
That's exactly right.
Okay, thank you. I'm not that crazy.
Yeah,
okay, because I had to think back to 13-year-old Melissa brain, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure RNA versus DNA, if I can remember. But my point being is, first of all, I was curious why they would even wait until people were in their, you know, in their 70s, because my understanding was this test was done for people in their 70s. Like, why couldn't we figure this out now? Why couldn't, you know, me at 35 figure out what this is going to project for me, first of all? But second of all, I guess I'll start there.
Yeah,
why can't I take this blood test now and find out if I'm going to live till 100?
So, yeah, I mean, so,
tell
so
me,
it's
Dr.
actually,
Brown.
This is actually, no, I got to tell you, it's actually, it's actually kind of an easy answer.
Oh, okay, fine. Why?
it's the same reason why, you know, we didn't have microwaves when I was born. It just we knew about microwaves, but we didn't know actually how they worked.
Oh.
And we didn't have the data to actually do it. So,
okay.
Interesting enough, we've known about genetics for forever, right?
Yes.
We know genetics from the peas and medallions and Mendel. So we know about genetics, right? But we don't know how to analyze. We weren't able to analyze it. We didn't have the computing power to do that.
Got it.
So,
but now
so
it seems like we do.
Yeah, we do, and that's the exciting part. So I know it's turned out to be sort of a big catchword, but I mean this is another example of AI. So
I think it's good. This is good.
Yeah, what AI is doing now, and again, I know we use this term sort of as this term that kind of covers everything. But what it is just it's the amount of information that can be put into a processor, and that information can be analyzed, and it can actually be spat out and give us the answers. So we don't have the computing intelligence to look at the DNA and say, okay, this is it. But now we do, and that's the difference. So, yeah, we knew the genetic code. We were able to isolate all of the DNA in the human genome, but we didn't really know what it means. So we had to do two things. One, we had to continue to analyze all the little portions of it and what actually happens with it. So you have DNA, and you're 100%, or you have DNA. DNA gets translated to RNA. RNA goes into these little things called ribosomes, and those ribosomes produce proteins, and those proteins develop things in our body, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the real basic aspect of it. But there's so many codes and so many aspects of how we can actually be ourselves, be who we are as humans, that we weren't able to sort of analyze all those pieces. So the combination of looking at the process and looking at what it does, but also analyzing all the data that we found associated with that and then putting it together, we can do predictive models. And those predictive models can determine, based on all of these samples that we have, how if we can live longer or not.
Okay, so eventually, if I'm hearing you correctly, I can have this blood test done before I'm 71, and I could find out if I'm going to live a long life.
Yeah,
as long as I don't get hit by a bus, knock on wood, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
By the time you're 90.
Right? I mean, if things naturally go the way they're supposed to. Okay. But the other thing, too, that I was fascinated
by. Soon.
No, okay. So the other thing here, Dr. Brown, that I was going to ask my second question with this is, and now I'm going to a little bit of a gray area, but I'm fascinated by this. So when the COVID shots came out, do you remember we talked about mRNA?
We did. Yes.
So do vaccines or do things that have mRNA, could that change what is projected to be our longevity?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's funny because I was going to go there also.
Oh, perfect. So, birds of a feather flock together, I tell you.
No.
Okay.
And let me tell you why.
Okay, great.
So what we're doing is that, but again, I think it's a great concept to sort of throw out there, and we'll probably talk about it again. So you actually hit on it perfectly, is that within our nucleus, right, within, if you go back to sixth grade science, right, within the nucleus, the brain center of the cell, right, and it all goes back to the cell, a cell goes to the brain center of the cell, has our genetic code in it. Mm-hmm. Our genetic code then actually will send out special markers, right? And those markers or those other aspects of it are RNA. So what it does is it actually makes a copy, right? So what happens is you end up having a nucleus with the DNA. The DNA then actually, I'm trying to think of the best way to do it. It's like a cassette tape, right?
Right.
People remember what those are.
Of course.
You know?
I miss them.
You know?
Are you kidding? In the car rides? Yes.
Yeah. You hear something on the radio, you capture it, right? And then you share it with someone else, right?
Podcasting. Totally. Yes.
Podcasting.
There
right?
it is.
There
yes.
you go.
Now we're in short
I was actually
century.
Trying
yes.
to, the manual process. So if you take that manual process, what happens is that RNA then goes to the, it goes to the, let's say tape, because it's kind of easier to understand.
Yeah.
That tape then goes to the body, right? Goes into that. So outside of the cell, it's really small. So it leaves the nucleus. It goes outside the body, and then it goes into a ribosome, which a ribosome produces a protein.
Okay.
So never does the RNA actually go back to the cell. It's actually the other way. So it's only one way.
Okay.
So it goes from the DNA to the RNA to the ribosome.
Okay.
What a vaccine does is we're able to, because of AI, because of the technology that we've developed, we've been able to develop the mRNA by ourselves.
Okay.
Without the nucleus. So
yeah,
we say to the body, hey, you know, we don't need to worry about the nucleus. Here's the mRNA. That mRNA goes to the ribosome. The ribosome produces the protein. That protein then gets exposed, and then our immune system acts from there.
So the question becomes, can we have a say in our longevity? And again, this is outside of freak accidents happening. You know, obviously we can't tell you, you know, if you cross the street,
exactly.
going to happen. Right. I mean,
so
I'm talking about your health, basically. And so this all stems from people who are like, wait a minute, how in the world did I end up back in sixth grade science class? I'll tell you how. So there's this new blood test that may indicate whether older people have a real high chance of living longer. Researchers at Duke University published findings in Aging Cell that show certain small RNA molecules in the bloodstream that can predict whether older adults are likely to survive at least more than 2 years. years. And so that's what we were talking to Dr. Brown about. And where my brain was then going is we've heard a lot about mRNA being used in vaccines in recent years, and they've been around for a bit. But in particular, and Dr. Brown did a great job, I think, of outlining certainly the difference between mRNA versus RNA in our bodies. But could eventually, could we see medicine of injecting mRNA that would impact our longevity? So could we have more control over a longer life?
And Melissa, folks, has stepped into deep science.
You're like, Melissa, you've given me 10 minutes on the air, and this is not one of those.
10 minutes to explain genetics.
Life.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could just do that,
here
please.
We go.
It took
all
a whole
right,
year in sixth grade, but if you could just do it in the next 3 minutes, that'd be great.
So we're going to have to step a little bit into college.
Wow, we graduated
sixth grade,
fast.
We're going straight to college.
Wow, all right.
So quick thing is that there's not only one RNA. There's several different types of RNA. So just so we're clear on that. And this type of RNA, which we're going to have to go there, this type of RNA is called a piRNA.
Okay.
And it's a newly discovered RNA. They don't know much about it, but they do know that based on sort of genetic coding and statistical analysis, that it is actually a determination of longevity. And that's what the Duke guys have actually found. So that's sort of our first piece.
Okay.
So to answer your big question, which I love that question, is that, you know, because we found this, because we can manipulate the system a little bit, can we increase our longevity? And the answer is right now, with detecting, we cannot. So all we're doing right now is we are taking a blood sample and we are detecting it. We're not changing anything that's potentially going on. So that's what's currently going on, currently happening with this study that occurs on the longevity. However, people may have heard the word CRISPR. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that?
No,
Melissa?
I haven't. I'm sorry. Nope.
So it's actually a technique in which you can actually selectively change genetic code in humans.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know if we have the time for that. That's wild. Okay. No,
deep
I'm
science.
not familiar with that.
So deep science. So yes, it is amazing. So what it does is, and we have to be very careful about this because you don't want to be changing genetic code unless you know what you're doing.
Right.
Obviously. However, this is what we've actually started to do with curing some certain rare and unusual diseases to the point where we've actually seen people who have bad genetic codes in their eyes. I'm going to use kind of generic terms in their eyes. We can actually change that code and we can have them see again.
Wow.
Science fiction actually happens, and
yes.
People can look that up. It's actually
I have heard of that. I have heard of a couple cases like that in recent years. Wow. Wow.
And the other piece that I think is even more meaningful is this is precision medicine, and this is how we're starting to treat people with cancer.
Wow.
We're able to identify the genetic code and change it. Now, CRISPR is a little bit different from that, but is actually used the technology so we can actually modify and change things. And use our immune system to fight off infections, use our immune system to fight off cancers, our own cancers. So yes, it's actually a very interesting age of genetic and genetic manipulation. We just need to be really careful about what we do.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, like anything, it could be the future. Certainly,
there's a great book that actually sort of outlines this. Mm. I just finished reading it a little while ago called The Songs of the Cell.
Okay, Songs of the Cell.
If someone wants to get into some deep science, it's fascinating. It's a very good book.
Okay, do you want to let me borrow that? All right, let me borrow that.
Absolutely.
So I can get more to the guts of my questions versus the very elementary ones that I've asked you today.
Absolutely.
Although, I think it's
very
important.
Well done.
Okay.
Very well done book. And
okay.
it would explain all of sort of the concepts right from the discovery of the cell to it's actually written by an oncologist.
Oh,
so
neat.
It goes right up through cancer. So,
wow.
I think a New York Times bestseller. It's a very good book. And explains all these topics very well.
Okay. Well, until I get my hands on the book, I'm very glad that we have Dr. Brown on a weekly basis. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for even scratching the surface on this. I think very fascinating and very, in the future, life-changing topic in health right here on WACC. We'll talk again next week.